I woke up at 3 a.m. again. The only thing I could think about was the sick, sadistic bastard that could have done this to a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. The twisted mind that could do such acts of atrocity. My putting pineapple within such a sandwich was driving me to the brink of madness. So I flipped on the Quality Time podcast and listened intently. The constant dick jokes and general good-hearted nature got me through another rough time. Kept me from putting the bullet in my mouth for one last night until I could crack this case. I was so excited that I left him a 5-star rating review on the iTunes and the Stitcher and all that shit. So get strapped in, turn the volume up to 11, and get ready for Night of the Demons.
Hello, kiddies. It's your old pal, the Crypt Keeper. This is a big shout out to my friends at Quality Time Podcast.
Most of my editing really just, it's like 40 minutes of the N-word that Jeremy has to say every episode.
And it's not even.
And then after that, we're good.
And it's not even so much jokes, it's just me using slurs all the time.
I don't know. We're already rolling, so this is the show.
Wonderful.
This is the show. It's happening.
Rolling. Welcome to Cumtown.
Yes, home of the town of Cum.
Pretend this is your broadcast and bring us up to 15,000 listeners.
Yeah, they have way more than that, than 15,000
really?
Listeners.
Well, it was only 15.
You probably got close to a million.
A million.
Million plus, I would guess.
Oh, just 15,000 a month to get paid.
No, they get $25,000 a month.
I thought you said it was 15.
25
it was
grand.
10 and 5 and 5. Oh, then it'd be 20 as opposed to...
Jeremy just did math. It was so strong watching Jeremy do math right there. Welcome back to Quality Time. My name is Eric Woodworth. Thank you so much for joining us once again on the broadcast. And I'd like to introduce none other than my blood, my brother, the man who's here every single week, Mr. Jeremy P. Woodworth.
Who are
Jeremy,
you talking about?
I'm talking about you, big guy. Who's
it's
here?
It's me, Stooge.
My spirit animal, Stooge. You're here tonight?
Yeah, I gotta listen to some hard metal, man.
Woo!
Like some Bauhaus.
Down woo! The oh, some good goth metal. I
yeah!
like that. Hell yeah, dude. So, Jeremy, you're back, and welcome. We have a guest this week. We're on a streak of guests coming up.
Technically one and a half.
One and a half. Yeah, we have technically one and a half. We have a silent guest, and then we have a speaking guest. Let's introduce our speaking guest, former Graveyard Goons member, fan of the show, Dave Draper. Welcome, Dave. How are you, sir?
Man, doing really well. Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you so much for just, A, being on the show, C, reaching out to us, and D, having a phenomenal mustache. Can I just tell you that?
Thank you very much.
And having us not have to pick you up, too.
Yeah, there's a lot of things. Like, we like Chris Restivo, he's mentioned a lot on the show.
I've heard.
Half of the time, just getting him here is more of an event. And you drove all the way from the eastern shore of Maryland, my wonderful home, just to be here today. You're not happy, but I mean, I'm glad that you're here more than anything.
Yeah, if I got a beer in my hand, I'm pretty happy.
All right, he's got, and that I did take care of. I made sure that was happening.
I do appreciate that very much. Very hospitable, gentlemen. I appreciate that.
Do we mention who Dave looks like?
Who does Dave look like? We didn't mention it.
He looks like a mustache version of the lead singer of Men at Work, Colin something.
Yeah, man. That's exactly what our listeners are probably thinking.
He's actually not even from from Australia is actually English.
And it's it's important to mention we do have another silent guest here. It's actually my brother-in-law because we're having a party upstairs and they all left and Tom just has to be here during the recording. My brother-in-law Tom Barber, who looks if I were to tell you what he looks like the guy from Game of Thrones that's trying to bang Brienne of Tarth. Okay, that's pretty much what he looks like.
I think he's also the last character that survives on the prequel to the movie The Thing.
Yeah, very similar. Yeah, okay. God, Jeremy, pulling out the references.
Isn't he also one of the main characters from Game of Thrones, the same exact guy?
It's exactly what we just talked about. You just didn't pay attention to anything we just said before this part.
You know, he's also the same character in another movie because it's the same character.
You know, he looks like the guy that William Wallace throws a rock at when he's a kid and he grows up to be a man. I like that.
Yeah, he doesn't look like that vampire guy from Interview with the Vampire. He looks like that guy from Jerry Maguire.
Okay. So, Dave, thanks for joining us. Tell us a little bit about yourself, what brought you here on the show, and then some of the things that you do in the comedy and entertainment
Pretty
world.
Pretty much just talk about your dick.
Yeah.
Ooh. No, you don't want me to do that.
Well, let's... Let's
make
start.
All our female listeners jealous.
You know what happened to our last guest? He poured coffee on his dick.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus. Yeah, Chris Moritz, R.I.P., his penis.
Do you have that song? Just play him like 5 seconds?
I probably could, but I didn't have it queued up.
I think we can get some more mileage out of that song.
You think you just want to hear it one more time?
Because I'm a narcissist.
All right.
Yes.
Chris.
Let's do it.
What's his name? Chris
Lawrence,
right?
Lawrence of Arabia.
Do I have the song?
What, of Arabia? Are you royalty? That name sounds like royalty.
I just farted from my penis.
Do you suck dicks? Bullshit. I bet you could suck a golf ball through a garden hose.
Is it called
Who Wants Coffee? Or coffee? You only did it last week.
I can't find it. Well, I'm just trying to search it. Jeremy, you know, we do so much content, and I wasn't ready for this at all.
I know.
Dave, tell us a little bit about you, some of the work you've done with formerly with the Graveyard Goons.
So,
you've taken a little hiatus, or what's the deal with that? Tell us what's going on.
So, yeah, formerly of the Graveyard Goons.
And what is the Graveyard Goons, just so our listeners know?
Graveyard Goons has been around for about 2 years. We started off doing a lot of different skits, a lot of different campaigns for Halloween, 31 Days of Halloween, where little spoofs and skits on different movies, things like that. Doing a campaign for the 25 Days of Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
We did a bunch of that where basically one character, let's say if you take a movie scene and you replace one of the characters in there with the Elf on the Shelf. So one of us played the Elf on the Shelf, and then we recreated the scene. Usually the Elf on the Shelf would be one with no dialogue and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's since grown into a prank phone call show, which it is primarily now with R.J. Jackson and his girlfriend Danielle Campbell, and that's what they do.
Oh, sweet Danielle.
Yeah.
I love her to death.
And it's a great prank phone call show. It's there every single Wednesday at 8 p.m., Facebook Live, YouTube Live. Everything is... You know, gearing more towards YouTube. There will be another 31 Days of Halloween campaign coming up.
I'm excited.
So
yeah, you know, I really enjoy that. Out of all the Graveyard Goon stuff, you guys do a lot of spoofs during the Halloween season, and they're pretty good. Like RJ does, like a shot by shot thing with all you guys as players within it. You'll recreate a lot of famous movie scenes, and
that's
it's pretty
right.
dope.
Mm-hmm.
You sweet a lot of films, is what I'm getting at.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So
yeah, we have a lot of fun doing it. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
You gotta go back quite a bit, quite a ways if you go to the page, and that's Graveyard Goons,
mm-hmm.
Goons with
a Z. Goonsies, never
Goonsies, die. Yeah, that's right. And if you go back, you know, far enough in the videos, you can find all that stuff. But yeah, it's primarily prank phone call show nowadays. And
I had listened to one of your prank phone calls recently when I went to go visit the Paco's Got Balls podcast.
Oh,
and
yeah.
you guys prank called them pretty good. I enjoyed it. It was some good stuff there.
I called the hotline, which mm-hmm. they like to do, where they, you know, they say, hey man, if you're out there enjoying yourself or whatever and you want to call our hotline, you know, call in with a little special message. And
And yeah, you left a real special one for him.
Called in as Goofy and Donald Duck, man. That was a lot of fun.
Oh,
man.
That was you. Okay.
Yeah.
That was him, it. Man.
Gorsk, don't make me blush.
No, I'm just over here trying to get my dick sucked.
You want a hook? A hook.
That's good stuff. So you do a bunch of voices. You do Donald. Can you give us a little Donald?
Hi, my name is Donald Duck, and I want my dick sucked.
See, that's pretty good.
Easy there, Donald. You know how you get.
Is this something you've been able to do your whole life, or is it something you kind of trained, like you admired it, or how did that work out?
Spent a lot of time alone, and a lot of various driving jobs where, you know, you're just by yourself, and you're just kind of, you know, cruising the streets or doing your job or
looking
whatever.
Looking for
and
gay
just,
sex. I got you.
Yeah, that's
hell
right.
Yeah.
And you practice the voices because obviously you're going to have to come up with some sort of character when you pick somebody up. Right?
Yeah,
you
right.
Know? Because you can't, just allude them to who exactly you are.
I always do my best impressions when I'm like sucking on the end of my gun. You know, just kind of like, another day, let's try an impression. Yeah, that's all I got.
Until you come up with a good new voice, and you're like, nope, I've just won the will to live again, mate.
So your ability to do impressions. Came from a place of loneliness, huh? Just being alone and trying to keep yourself occupied first and foremost.
No, I mean, you know, definitely watching cartoons, watching movies, stuff like that, and a lot, you know, and a lot of those characters and things like that. And I'm like, man, I wonder if I can imitate that. I wonder if I could do that. And so you just sit around, or you're driving, or you're doing whatever, and you just start to figure them out. Cool. As you're going along, and you know, it's just complete self entertaining.
I gotcha.
And then once you bring it out to other people and they start laughing, you're like, okay, well, shit, maybe I got something going on here, which is something I'd like to keep carrying on. So
yeah, there's something about doing an impression where you actually you're really reaching out to somebody's soul in a sense, but it's even more. It's like a double. If you meet a celebrity that actually worked with that celebrity, because I did that when I met Lance Henriksen like about a month or two ago. And of course, I get to do like a little bit of Bill Paxton. I can see that look in his eye like, oh, yeah.
That's some good shit right there. Right on. Like
yeah, I miss Bill a lot now that I'm like 120. So that's my best like, Lance Henriksen.
Every time I hear Lance Henriksen's voice, that is the internal voice I use when I masturbate. Like, whenever I look down at my dick, I'm like, yeah, you motherfucker. Are you ready for this right now?
You're not going to elude me now.
Yeah, yeah.
I've got 5 blue pills in me. This is going to last for 24 hours.
Dead or alive, you're coming with me.
So, Dave, what would you say? We've heard a little Goofy. We've heard a little Donald. What would you say your strongest? You go on America's Got Talent tomorrow. What's the one you drop on them?
You know, I mean, Donald Duck, definitely.
Donald is the strongest.
I think that would be the strongest, but, I mean, there's plenty of others.
You got
there's
any other?
What,
give us one more before we get into right. some other shit here. What else you got in the repertoire? Do you do any Robert De Niro's fucking people in the ass? Because Christopher Stevo has that on lock.
Is that right?
Our other house impressionist.
He
does a lot of fucking things in the ass as Robert De Niro and Pesci. Do you think you could do a better Pesci or Robert De Niro getting fucked in the ass?
Working on Pesci. Yeah,
okay.
Definitely working on Pesci, you know what I mean? I mean, hey, you know, what am I, a fucking ass rapist over here? What am I, a fucking ass rapist? Huh? I could rape you fucking better than De Niro could, couldn't I? Huh? Huh? You want some of this? What am I, a fucking clown? I amuse you? I'm here to fucking amuse you? No, I'm here to fucking rape you. How do you like that? Huh? Huh? They call me Spit on It First Tommy.
Spit on It First Tommy is a pretty good class.
Yeah,
I like that.
I'll make it fucking slip in easy.
Good rape, fellas.
Good rape fellas.
Ever since I was a boy, I've always wanted to be a rapist. Good fella.
Good fella.
Of course, I got some. As part of this movie, man. I've definitely got some Beavis and Butthead to come
all right,
up
well,
in there.
We'll go over that right. as we get into right. it. I'll tell you what. We have a couple of Joe Robinson's corrections. And this week, I got to be honest with you folks, we have no Joe Robinson corrections. So as a response to Joe Robinson's lack of corrections, which we know exist, our listeners send them, but I only accept them through the portal of Joe Robinson. So if you have corrections for the show, check out Joe Robinson on Twitter and send them to him so that he can filter them through him to us. I prefer it that way more than anything.
You have to be famous enough to correct our show.
Yeah, yeah. We don't give a fuck about you schlubs on the streets that want to fucking tell us, oh, you messed up the Equinox last week on the fucking... Shut the fuck up.
You
send it to Joe Robinson. He's the only authority on this show. So I wrote this little song... called the No Joe Robinson's Corrections.
No Joe Robinson corrections this week. No Joe Robinson corrections this week. Oh, well, Joe, I know you're working real hard and you got a job and a bunch of kids and a wife, but we need you now more than ever before. Cause in these trying times and we mess up shit all the times and we don't want the viewers to think that we're lazy now and not correcting our shit. And we don't have a producer who would normally do this job, but we need you now, and I know that you work so hard sending it now. And 98 Rocks got you covering the Ravens all day, and this song is probably not gonna hear until months later, and you'll think it's gay. Oh, fucking Joe. Joe, we need you. No.
And you know what this means? The show is perfect. It doesn't have any corrections.
Yeah, we can't correct what's already perfect right now. So, no Joe Robinson corrections.
Why don't you just tell Mozart to take out some notes out of his fucking music?
Yeah, yeah. Malcolm McDowell. Thanks.
King and Amadeus.
I had a really weird dream where... have you guys seen the deep fake things, you know, where they have like a Jim Carrey playing
that shit's
like
awesome.
Yeah, like they put people's faces. Deep fake is fucking creepy.
That shit's fucking nuts.
I had a real situation. I had a very vivid dream of Malcolm McDowell being deep faked as young Malcolm McDowell and talking an American accent about how Malcolm McDowell sucks to me for a good half hour of a dream last night, and I am shaken still to this day by it.
That's a
Malcolm McDowell trashing Malcolm McDowell.
Yeah, but in an American accent.
Oh wow, that is scary.
Yeah, it's creepy. I didn't like it at all. He was kind of talking like Andrew Dice Clay. He was just like, this fucking Malcolm McDowell. Oh! Fucking O'Hara! Thinks he's Caligula. Oh! Fucking boom, baby! I had a weird dream. Last story before we get into tonight's topic. I did go to the Rancid concert last night, which was a hoot. I pretended. First of all, I've been to 8 concerts in the last year. And this was the first concert I've been to where I felt age appropriate, where I was there. Because listen, I've been to Van Halen. I felt like I was young at Van Halen. There's lots of old people. I went to Slayer. I went to Slayer and I felt like I was young at Slayer. There was lots of old people. I went to Gary Clark Jr. Fucking old ass motherfuckers there. Tenacious D, I felt young. Or I felt too old at Tenacious D because there was a lot of people that I felt were younger than me at Tenacious D. But finally, I went to Rancid, a band that was popular in my high school years, and I looked around and everybody there was like my age, and I was like, fuck yeah, this feels right.
I'm ready to kick some ass.
Yeah. I'm not a huge Rancid fan. I like Pennywise too, who opened up for him, which was pretty cool. But I just looked around and I was like, I belong here. These are my people. These are the people. This was the music I grew up with, right? And I was age appropriate.
Which Pennywise do they dress up on in stage?
They don't dress.
Do they dress up as the Curry or the new guy?
They just dress up as L.A. punk rockers who aren't into violence, which I don't like. I need pro-violence punk rock.
So they have the name of Pennywise as their band. They have nothing to do with a clown.
Nothing to do with the clown. Nothing
Bunch
at all.
Of faggots.
I mean, I'm sure it's named. I'm sure it's named after Pennywise, but right. You know, it's they're anti-violence. They have a really great song called Bro Him. They also did a I will say Pennywise did a cover of they did two covers which were really awesome. One they did When the Night Is Young, and they did like a punk rock version. And the mountains should crumble to the scene. That was cool, but they also did a they did that Nirvana song, Gotta Find a Way, Better Way, Better Way. And that was actually played a little bit faster than the normal one and in a little bit punk rockier style version. It was really good. I really enjoyed it.
The best thing about them doing a cover of Stand By Me is that they have a real fake stage, a real train come on stage and hit a kid so he dies.
That was the big part. They're like, I'm going off the rails and making Stephen King novels.
Want to see a dead body?
I do. But no, they were really cool. Now, on the way out, I had a little incident where I came in and our ticket included a free parking pass at this parking garage. We went to the parking garage. We couldn't scan the parking pass, okay, at the thing. People are lining up behind me, so I just pressed the button so I could get through, get my ticket, and go on, right? And my wife is fucking pissed at this point. She can't handle this isn't working out. She's stressed out. I'm like, just shut. All right, we'll figure it out on the way back, right?
Shut up, bitch.
I didn't say those
things.
The inner
voice.
I didn't say those things to my beautiful wife that I love so much.
He gave her the stooge.
Fuck. So I after the show ends, I am a fucking real heavy edible in. I'm super fucking stoned right now. I took half of an edible and I am on cloud fucking nine. Nice. I don't want any confrontation at all. Okay, that's the last thing I want is any confrontation with a person. Right. So we get up there. And it's a long line at the kiosk of people paying out, and we automatically hear this lady talking about having the same problem that we're having. She bought the thing. She had to get a ticket to get in. And we hear you need to go to the second floor. Well, the guy, the voice on the other end goes, he's like, all right, listen, calm down, ma'am. I want to help you. And this fucking white bitch did not take it well. She's just like, calm down? And like, my wife takes it as, she's just like, we just need to go to the second floor office. Okay, so we start going. We get ahead of these people, right? We get in there. There is a lovely, probably homosexual black man who's working in there. He's just like, my wife handles it because she knows I'm super stoned at this point. She's like, you probably get this a lot, but we have this little thing, blah, blah, blah. I have a copy of the thing. And he was like, oh, that's no problem, boo. We just got to attach this to your ticket real quick so you can get out. No problem. And so he takes care of it. No problem. We're on the way out. We see this lady who this maybe gay man told to calm down a minute ago, and this fucking white woman talked to the manager is meeting the immovable object right now. Okay, she walks in and she goes, he's like, yeah, we're having a problem with this. And she was just like, okay, yeah, let me take you a ticket. And then he takes it and he's like, are you sure you don't want to tell me to calm down again like that? And I look at this lady's husband and I just, we have this moment of like, I look at him, he doesn't want to be here right now. He's like, I don't want anything to do with this. And I gave him this look like, good luck, bro. And then I rolled out. But as I was rolling out, all I hear the attendant go. He's just like, first of all, ma'am, I'm going to need you to take the attitude, leave that outside of this office, because we don't allow that in here. Like this. And I am 99.9% sure this ended with this guy filming this lady as she was not getting her parking validated. It was fucking phenomenal. God, I loved it so much.
Absolutely.
I love one of those situations. Do you like watching like horrible things happen as long as they're not part of like affecting you in any way? Like,
well,
that's
course.
My favorite thing, right?
Well, and especially if it isn't like, you know, one of those situations that you know you're going to have to jump into. I mean, you see somebody getting assaulted on the street, you're like, yeah, maybe I should intervene. Not a lot of people do.
Mm-hmm.
I think you should if you're capable of doing so. But if you're just there witnessing some sort of verbal altercation, yeah. You know, just sit there and check it out. You know, watch it unfold. You know,
I like where your head's at. Yeah.
And well, and then you know, it's and like then the of boom. Course everybody's got their phone on them, so they're gonna whip it out and start recording. You know.
So I'm glad I made it out of there with no problem. And if you want to know what
you
the
were
rest
docile,
of the,
you know, because of
yeah, I was super
whole...
stoned and I was having a great time. The whole concert itself, for any wrestling fans that were watching, was like watching a never-ending Sami Zayn entrance. It was just. People doing kicks at each other, and there was lots of shirtless men in their 30s that had no business having their shirt off. God, I had a great time. Women that were 35 with tattoos that said Rancid. It was also, this was the first
but
concert.
But it was probably only R, C, and D
yeah,
by the
yeah.
time the wrinkles had hit in.
I will say this is the first concert I've ever been to where I saw the most people buy a shirt that night and also wear it at the show. That I was at. I've never seen that. Like, usually, I guess people forget about the movie PCU, where it's not cool Ooh. To wear your shirt Ooh, to the yeah. band that you're seeing. Not only did people say, fuck that, I'm buying the shirt, I'm also going to wear it at the show that I'm at right now.
Did they at least, hard. Like, cut the arm sleeves off or
nothing,
something like
nothing. They
that.
Made it look like it's a 2019 tour, everything on it.
They
just
fucking,
fuck it.
They fucking starched that shit in the bathroom,
Became
man. They were like,
posers
we're uniform.
On the spot. But overall, it was a great show. Rancid still got it, even though they shat on all of their pop songs that everybody knows them for and mentioned how much they hate fucking playing it. Like, I love that their guitar player did nothing but shit on all of their pop songs and spit on the ground constantly. Every time they had to play one.
Is that like Ruby Tuesday song?
Yeah, Ruby Soho. Yeah. You could just tell the guy, you could see it in the guitar player's face. He's like, man, this fucking song again. I fucking hate this.
We're just
Ruby
here for a paycheck.
Tuesday.
Fuck this shit.
Who could make a burger joint like you? I'm gonna have a burger with pineapple.
I'm gonna have sex with my dog now.
Yeah.
If you don't tip, well, burn the place down.
Are we ready to get into tonight's topic, boys?
Get it. I didn't say anything tonight, and that's fine.
Because tonight we're going over the cult classic, 1988's Night. Of the demons!
Oh. Satan!
Not to be confused with Demon Knight. Or the movie Demons.
Not to be confused with Don't Stop Till Your Love Comes Down, which is exactly what this intro sounds like. I will say, there's never been a greater disparity between the quality of movie that they shot and the score that was made for this movie. Because this score... it's a 10 out of 10.
Do you think so? I think the director or his brother that created the music, whoever it is, just kind of dragged their little 5-year-old in there to key mash a keyboard, man.
By the way, director's son.
A director's
oh, right.
son?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, just pretty much brought his little kid in and they just key mashed the keyboard.
Good job.
I mean, come on, as a keyboard player yourself, wouldn't you say?
I wish I was a true keyboard player.
I'd say you do a pretty good job.
But I love listening to Beyond Synth on podcasts. Mm. So
are this
you into
is
new
a
new retro wave?
No, not yet.
This is directed by Kevin Tenney.
Kevin S. Tenney,
who you've met at multiple shows,
I've
Jeremy.
I've met at least one show, and he is a friend on Facebook.
What's his, what are the Mount Rushmore of Kenny, well, what's another great movie?
I hate to
movie?
Say, I haven't looked at his catalog, but his big film breakout was definitely Witchboard with Tawny Kitaen. And yes, there's a big bush scene in that movie with Tawny Kitaen.
And there's a big bush scene in this. He's into showing bush in movies, which I like.
I don't think that was probably real in this one versus Return of the Living Dead, where she had the fake bush.
Yeah.
And now, am I wrong on this? But did he do Harry and the Hendersons as well?
Might have. Unless he produced it.
I don't see it. Let me see here. Which trap? No. He was... No. I'm looking at his credits right now.
Witchboard, huh?
Yep.
Okay. I guess he directed a movie called Bigfoot in 2009, which looks exactly like the movie Harry and the Hendersons. Exactly like the prosthetics from Harry and the Hendersons. Okay, so I'm wrong on that. But no, this is wildly regarded as a cult classic. Jeremy, is it big in the scene? You're a big. You see a lot of people cosplaying at this at the shows.
I hate to say we just had a reunion of Linnea Quigley and what's her name who plays Angela in this at the last New Jersey Horror Con, and I got a picture of them with two dudes doing the same exact cosplay of those two characters in drag. So
nice.
And I'll tell you, they did a pretty damn good job, except they were at least 6 foot tall something. So.
Fuck yeah, I'd fuck those big ass bitches. Let's make this happen.
Linnea Quigley.
Fucking Linnea Quigley. And if you guys don't know who Linnea Quigley is, you've clearly never seen Return of the Living Dead. But she gets naked in most of her films, including this one.
Well, so there's a film that'll never be released because it's been put somewhat in the can like 10 years ago, and of course she's naked in this, and it's a witches movie. I forget if the name's called The Witches or something. Guess who she gets naked with?
Who?
I'll give you a hint. He's homeless.
Oh, I know who it is. John Link?
Yes.
Hell yeah. Our boy John Link. Shout out. So John Link singing live the sweet tits of Linnea Quigley.
He's apparently doing these new scenes with Linnea
Quigley.
Oh,
that fucking rocks.
So, yeah, I don't even think if we told her the down low, she would even get near him now, which nobody should. So
nobody should. And if you need to know...
to that one episode.
Yeah, with all the lice. Hell yeah.
Oh, my God.
He has been listed as a celebrity with us with our new movie at this new chiller, and of course Edna and I are thinking, like, we don't want him at the same booth with us. We don't want him anywhere near us. You know, he'll get to go to this show for free, but we don't want him sitting next to us.
Yeah,
he's a street bum.
He's disgusting.
But
God bless John Link. I hope you you pull through whatever ails you at this point.
Lives another year.
So this movie starts off, and we get to meet I'll say it right now, my spirit animal, Stooge, who is a local fat guy, party maker, troublemaker, full mullet, carved to the fucking nines, like Brian Bosworth, in a time where the mullet had already ended its coolness in 1988. Right. He looks great. So they speed through a neighborhood, and he goes out and decides to moon a friendly old man who's driving as they drive by him in the neighborhood. This old man gets then rolled up on by another local hooligan named Sal. Sal scares him with a fake rat, and he drops his groceries. And as he's trying to collect his groceries, a very lovely woman named Judy, who's going to be our heroine for the movie, comes up and tries to help him out.
Get away from me!
I was just trying to help.
I don't need to help you, damn little whore!
Well, fine. I wouldn't want to help an old creep like you anyway.
I wasn't going to help you pick up your Depends anyway that you just dropped there.
Damn little whore.
So as he's picking up his things, he says these words here.
They'll get what they deserve. Yes. They'll get what they deserve.
And
right.
He picks up some apples and a thing of razor blades. So he's the guy in town that's gonna on Halloween give out razor blade candied apples. So
can we say that we left out one greatest part of Kevin Tenney's movie list?
What's that?
Pinocchio's Revenge.
Oh, Pinocchio's Revenge! No, God, how do we sleep on a movie so critically acclaimed?
I don't have any more strings holding me down. Now you're gonna die. I'm Pinocchio.
So, Judy then heads home and calls her sweet boyfriend for the night, her date, Jay, and tells her that they're going to a cooler party instead of the dance, and it's Angela's party. Who's Angela? Is basically the goth kid in the school,
yeah,
right?
Oh, yeah.
She was goth before.
That's the advanced version now in her costume of the goth chick from Breakfast Club, for sure.
Mm-hmm. And he explains that the party is at Whole House.
Granny says she's into witchcraft and all sorts of creepy stuff.
Come on, you don't believe all that, do you? It's a bunch of crap.
She's just a lonely old misfit trying to get some attention by acting weird, that's all.
So why in the world would you want to go to her party then?
Because it's Halloween. Who do you know that'll give a better party? It's like Christmas to her.
Do we have to?
Come on, Max and Franny are going. It'll be fun.
Oh, all right, I guess so. I can't wait to meet her family. She probably lives in a belfry.
Well, it's not at her house. It's at Hull House.
Hull House? Jay!
Pick you up in 20.
So, with that news, she starts to get ready, and Judy pulls off her top so we can see this see-through bra that she's wearing. Doesn't get nude because she is the heroine of this thing who doesn't fuck. But we do get a pretty decent shot of her tits in this scene, mm-hmm. Which it looks pretty nice. And as she's getting ready, she goes to open her closet door, and her brother is there to scare the shit out of her.
Wow, prodigious boobies, sis. If you keep on going, you'll have to hire someone just to tie your shoes.
Ow!
So, nothing like a 12-year-old brother to sit in the closet quietly while masturbating at his sister's titties. So,
you forgot about the most important part, which was her taking her bottoms off.
That's
and
true.
Showing
yeah.
her butt.
Yeah, that's
so.
True. We got a little bend over and all that, didn't we?
I thought that was an important plot point.
Well, yeah, exactly.
There's a lot of brrr moments in this, right? You hear me? Brrr.
Yes, exactly.
Ring. So,
you know, you got to make a telephone conversation go over a little better. So,
her brother then hears the doorbell and goes to answer it, and it's Dickhead Sal out there. And Sal is a guy who has his eyes for Judy, and he's a real charmer.
Boo! I wish I had a camera. You look like you dropped the load, Junior. Hey, cool, what do you think?
Looks like you dropped a load, Junior. Jeremy, were there people in your high school at this time that would ever say you dropped a load, Junior? Is that a line that got dropped around Howard High School in the 80s?
No, we just did drugs.
All right, that's fine.
We didn't even know what half the people were talking about.
We barely talked to each other. We were so stoned out of our minds.
Let's hear a little bit more of Sweet Sal here.
You are, Rocky Balboa.
Let me go, creep!
Sure. I go tell a pretty little piece you call your sister that handsome Monk Sal is here. Until I brung my pet snake for her to play with.
Judy's getting ready for a date, butthole. If I were you, I'd get out of here before he shows up and turns your ugly face into a punching bag.
What do you mean that shit, punk? Go get your sister before I lose my cool.
All right. Look at that. Sal really knows how
Sal
to...
Sal is from somewhere in New York.
Yes, yes. I like that he makes no sense that he's in this movie at all. Like, there's nothing about Sal that says, A, he's the good guy, right? Like, because they try to make him like, oh, Sal is the nice guy. He's the nice kid from Jersey that's trying to be a save the day, right? Like, they make him look like a fucking dick from the very beginning. But we're supposed to appreciate him as the guy that Judy should really be with. But we're like, no, Sal's a fucking cock. You don't want anything to do with this guy.
Absolutely. I mean, you only get two kind of guys like this in a movie. You know, you either get the Italian guy or you get the punk rocker guy. You know, that's like, you know, that, that kind
of... They had to change Return of the Living Dead character just a little bit.
Yes, so. Yes.
Yeah, oh, man. Yeah,
we you think this is a, for show? This is a living, eh?
This is a fucking costume? It's a way of life. Yo, I fucking bust my ass for you guys, and what do I get? You're spooky. Yeah. Fuck you, man. Fuck you.
I'm Sal. I mean the other guy. So we haven't gotten to the other characters that are almost spot on from Return of the Living Dead. Obviously, she's the nice girl in love with Tommy Jarvis.
Yes, yes, yes.
And obviously, they have the bad guy, the punk rocker. And, of course, one black guy kind of reminds you of Michael Nunez.
Yeah, yeah, so. Very, very similar. Yeah. So. I like the structure. Set up in a very Night of the Return of the Living Dead way. Well, you're correct.
Can we now there is kind of a blowout here with the whole thing about Linnea Quigley anyway with the trivia going on. Mm-hmm. The fact that the people that made this film were so interested and so in love with the fact that Linnea Quigley was trash, they wanted her so bad, and she turned this down because she was like, there's no way. And this was three years later, so 1985 is Return of the Living Dead. You got 88 now with Night of the Demons. So she was not she wasn't confident that she was going to be able to be portrayed as a teenager. So she originally turned it down, but they kept wanting her. She went back, and of course she won the audition. And so knowing that, and then watching it, there it is. There are so many Return of the Living Dead things that I found throughout watching this movie, man. I thought it was
incredible. It is fun. And Return of the Living Dead will be a future episode that will come on here. So,
I saw a good horror meme that mentioned Linnea Quigley's like, this day in 1985, she got up on a thing on a graveyard and danced naked. No mention of Return of the Living Dead whatsoever. It just has to do with her dancing. So.
Stop talking about me.
We're not talking about you. My sweet sister has rolled down into the podcast, and she's very drunk. You can see it in her eyes.
Bye.
All right, I'll see you later, sis. Thanks for dropping in. We appreciate it.
Nice meeting you.
We appreciated you rolling in here and ruining the show. I mean, it's pretty much the highlight of my life. 41 min mark edit. Okay, got it. I write the edits in as we go here.
That's good practice.
So as this is all going down, Sal is able to bribe the little brother about the whereabouts of where Judy is going tonight. And first he offers him a quarter. He's like, what do you think? I'm going to sell my sister out for a quarter? And a dollar is what does it. It's just he needed to go up to a whole dollar, and he accepts. He's just like, tells him it's Hall House. And he's like, you'll be too chicken shit to go anyway. So
yeah, but you have to think back to the 1988 that a dollar was actually more like $1.10.
Yeah. That's a good point, man. Yeah. That's a good point. And he also steals the kid's mask, which will be important coming up. So next we see Angela and Suzanne, who's actually played by Linnea Quigley, Sweet Tits Linnea Quigley, and they are doing some shoplifting for tonight's party. And their whole plan is Quigley just goes over and bends over and shows basically her snatch to the boys at the register.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't blame them, because if a girl just bent over in a miniskirt and was showing her fucking ass and things up, I'm going to sit there and look at it until it stops.
Now, the most important thing about this scene is, what is the video game that she's standing next to?
Oh, no, I didn't notice because I was distracted.
Well, you see what you want to see in the scene.
Bedlam.
That, of course, was Bedlam fucking you fucker.
This is Bedlam.
It's actually Gyrus.
Gyrus, so good.
And, of course, with almost every single movie from the 80s, what video game sound do you hear over top of the soundtrack?
Space Invaders.
No, it's actually Atari's 2600 Pac-Man.
Ah.
The horrible sound effects. It sounds nothing like the original
Pac-Man.
God,
I can't believe
it's
they
horrible.
I can't believe they would ruin the integrity of this movie by doing that.
I think it was on some loop, some sound loop that they use in every single movie.
Absolutely.
So while all this is happening, Angela is able to make off with the house. She's able to steal alcohol, multiple packs of cookies, because I guess they think these college kids, like high school kids, love cookies, especially if they're like 30 years old, like every high schooler is in this movie. And Quigley then asks if she's inviting some cute boys to the party. She says, of course, to scare the shit out of them.
No, I think those two clerks should have been replaced with Beavis and Butthead, because that was just too perfect.
Right?
It's too long, you know? It's too long when she's just bent over there, and just and that's all you hear is the arcade sound, just the bop,
I like,
beep, bop, you know?
I like to think that if this scene had never been made, we never would have seen the same exact scene in a Aerosmith video. Going crazy. With his own daughter.
Baby, I go crazy.
Steven Tyler masturbates to his own daughter in the scenes in the video. So.
It's nothing like seeing your fucking grandma so finger jaded. Bang off to your granddaughter. You know, it's just that's what crazy is. So
she looks like an elf.
Next, we see Jay, who is Judy's date, come to pick her up at Judy's house, and he tries to make some sweet talk with the little brother.
Well, you must be Judy's little brother, huh? You're pretty lucky. She's a real nice girl.
Yeah, are you dating her for her personality? Because she has big cha-chas.
Cha-chas.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, listen, this kid, he's from the streets. He knows what the deal is. He knows his fucking sister's got big tits, and he's not scared to share that.
And he knows she's going to have somebody tie her shoelaces someday. So.
Yeah. I like that this is the beginning of incest porn. Like, this guy set up the first incest porn fucking hot stepmom website that existed. This kid is he's the genesis of all this, right?
My favorite is third cousin porn. So.
Third cousin porn. Yeah. So next, Jay claims that he's not dressed up for Halloween, but he legit looks like Don Johnson from Miami Vice. Right? Am I wrong there? Like, that's a strong choice this time of year.
Subaru. So
next we get to see Stooge and his friends making their way to the party.
It's heavy metal mobile.
Whoever drew up this map must have been half blind and half retarded.
Sounds like Angela. Dizzy fucking bitch, man.
Stooge, you become an asshole of your own free will or were you born that way?
Did you hear something funny? I don't know why I'm hanging out with you two wipes. Give me that damn map.
Hey, damn great Stooge. Now look what you've done.
Typical.
Shut up and drive, bitch. Look here. Turn here.
Bitch!
So, anybody get the bitch count in this movie?
Stooge just says the word bitch like 30 times in this film. It's so good. He's a fat pig.
This is pre-Breaking Bad at that.
It's important to mention some of the costumes here. Stooge just has a pig nose on and wearing like sweatpants and a sweatshirt.
Eric,
and,
I tried to find that fucking pig nose for you so bad, man. I wanted
going then, all out.
Oh, man.
And then it's also important, we kind of glanced over Judy's costume. She's dressed as Alice from Alice in Wonderland, which I guess they're trying to make this connotation that she's about to enter the looking glass and stuff like that. But listen, we're not talking great literature here. We're talking cheesy titties horror
now,
film.
She's not even entering the liquor glass, man.
Now, the other three, we have the one, the black guy, who's the Michael Nunez character. We have the what's her name is kind of like a toga, and I guess she would be the one with the blue,
that would
the
be
blue,
Helen.
The blue rooster tail cut hair. And of course the guy with the suit is the guy in the suit. It's the same as the Return of the Living Dead.
And strong connotations.
You ever think about making love? You'd really like to make it with me. Yeah, forget it, man.
Well, sure, a girl like you and a guy like me. Yeah, so fuck off and die.
Oh, gosh.
So Stooge and them, Stooge, Helen, and the black guy, Roger, they go off-road to try to find this Hall House. And it's not looking... Well, we'll find out what happens to them soon. So Stooge and the gang end up getting a flat and have to continue on foot. Jay and the gang stop as they're going by and basically tell them to go fuck themselves. Jay has also picked up two other people on the way, a very hot Asian and this kid named Max, who knows a lot about Hull House for no reason. So he's dressed as a doctor. She's dressed as Peter Pan. And probably, if I'm going to be honest with you, has the best rack in the movie, okay? This Asian broad is just a mwah. She is a she came up on my Pornhub search history right up after this movie was finished. So
did you get the audio for that when he pulls up? He goes, "Hey man, do you guys need a huh?"
Well, I have the Hull House.
Bringing it up.
No.
No, he asks if he has a tire iron, right?
Yeah, he goes, "Hey, you guys need a hand?"
Mm-hmm. good bit. So
thanks, Dick.
Yeah, they completely shit on Stooge and the rest of the guys, and they continue down the road. But as Max pulls up, Max, the guy who's in the back of Jay's car with the hot Asian, has some information about Hull House.
This was once a funeral parlor, wasn't it?
Yeah, biggest one in four counties.
A funeral parlor? Way out here?
Sure, it's nice and cozy, right next to the old cemetery. And rumor has it, old man Hull really loved his clientele. I mean, in the carnal sense.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. I once saw a portrait of Mrs. Hull.
I've heard stories about this place ever since I was a kid. The Hull family met a pretty gruesome end, didn't they?
They sure did. As a matter of fact, it was on Halloween night. One of them went crazy and slaughtered the entire family, then committed suicide. They could never figure out who did it. Too much blood and guts.
I can't believe we're gonna party here. Neither can I.
Mm-mm-mm. So, they pull up on this massive, dilapidated house that, like, if you were in the movie Resident Evil, you would be like, nah, we can't go in there. This is not a place that you should ever be. But, you know, we're young, we're dumb, we're full of perseverance, we're gonna go up in this place. And Max gets out and he notices the wall that's surrounding the house.
Well, the wall was built to mark the stream. Supposedly the evil spirits that haunt the land can't cross over running water or something.
We go in now. It's getting kind of chilly.
I don't know, or something. I'm sure this won't come in handy later in the movie.
I would have preferred if just like some old guy showed up and be like, "Did I tell you about the stream running underneath this wall here that was a feat of modern magna vision?"
Well, that's right. I mean, this movie is lack of a harbinger of some sort that is supposed to, you know, stray them away.
He's back, you know, putting the razors in the apples for the kids.
Yeah, that's right. I did actually look that up, too. You know, I was like, geez, is that a real thing? You know, could spirits not cross water and all that? And I came up with some friggin' story and some other damn thing about how vampires would drown if they... whatever.
Can vampires drown? I don't know.
Vampires drown if they come across the water, you know? That was the one thing I found. The other thing about spirits can't cross over water is, like, some older couple were driving along the road, and they found this girl. And this girl said, "Look, I need a ride to my house. It's just over this bridge." They put her in the car. They drove her across the bridge, but she disappeared somewhere in between. Got to the house. Went to the house. The father came to the door and said, "Oh, yeah, that's my, yeah, you know, my daughter died friggin' years ago, you know, and all that stuff." And so, and they went back to where her supposed gravestone was, and there was the folded up jacket that they had given her to take her out of the rain, you know. And that was like the only story I could find out about how true was the spirits can't cross running water
Landing
type
Club.
Stream story.
Well, we obviously know ring wraiths can't cross rivers.
I guess that's true. I look at it like this, boys.
They
like
can't Sonic through the rings or nothing like that.
There's, I think the important thing to remember, and a lot of people don't know this, but death is the only equality that we actually have in this world, right? Like everybody dies when we're all dead. Like when we're dead, it's a guarantee. Like until the movie Highlander is a real thing, that's all that we're all equal. So the important thing to remember is that much like black people now, when we die, we all can't swim. So, you know, immediately that's
absolutely true.
That's the ultimate equality, is that white people can no longer swim or do that anymore. So that, and that's just something that people don't know. Like, I just wanted to share that with.
Oh, I know black people can't swim. I've seen that firsthand. Oh yes. Oh yeah. Yeah, we called them the Iron Ducks in the Marine Corps boot camp. Marine Corps boot camp. I'm telling you what, man. There's a certain percentage of Spanish guys and a certain percentage of black guys that cannot swim. They're called the Iron Ducks.
That rocks so much.
We had this one guy, right? Mm-hmm. It was swim training, and we had already been out of boot camp and out of MOS training and all that stuff. And we were there at the pool doing a swim qual, right? Mm-hmm. And this one guy goes to jump in, right? And he's got, you know, I mean, you're more liable to swim or float if you've got, you know, some sort of beef on you, right? And this guy was tall, skinny, you know, nothing, right? Jumps into the pool to not really float, but do the kind of swim paddle to stay, afloat.
To wade in water
for about 5 minutes. Yeah, essentially, right? This guy jumps in, and he is just fighting for his life, man. And he's like, I can't swim. And he shouts at him. We're all standing around watching him. He says, I'm going to go under. I'm going under. And he fucking goes under, man. And we're just standing there watching him. Couple seconds.
Just like Phil Collins.
Four. Right.
If you saw me, I was drowning, and I was a person of color. Would you jump on in? I know where you've been. This Marine Corps is a pack of lies.
Boom! Then he comes back out of the water. Then he comes back out of the water, flailing and all that. We're like, see, you could do it. You did it. And here you are. Now swim over to the side. Get out. You failed the friggin' swim training because you didn't wade for 5 minutes.
Oh, man.
That shit was hilarious.
Did he have
hilarious,
a full pack
man.
Of shit on and boots and everything?
No. This was...
Wow.
This was after all that. I mean, you do all that stuff beforehand. This was way after it. This was, you know, and...
I always was trained by my dad that you take the closest corpse and you blow into the open belly where you've stabbed in the corpse. And that way, when you're going down, you can still take air from the guy's belly.
Damn right.
Much like a scuba deer.
That's some ooh-rah shit.
And that's how I learned how to go in the pool from age four on.
Fucking A, man.
Holy shit.
I didn't even know who the dead guy was, but it still worked.
Yeah, that's right.
Dad never explained these things.
So inside, they walk into the house and they find coffins. And as they're looking at this, they hear a car pull up. They all decide to go hide. But Jay opens up one of the coffins and Sal comes out with that fucking creepy ass mask that he stole from
and
earlier.
Some sweet cores.
Scares the shit out of out of Jay. And as that happens, the rest of the gang filters in to the into the place, and it's Stooge with some other folks, and it is time to party.
All right, dudes and dudesses.
Hold on. That's such a good clip. I'm going to wind it back. Hold on.
And dudesses. Party!
And there's a line.
Do you want a party?
So that brings us to the party section of the show.
And the video dating song.
And I think the end of this episode, if I got to be honest with you guys, we're going to have to come back next week to go finish out the rest of Night of Demons. We've set the stage.
Night of Demons.
There's a Night of the Demons.
The Night of the Comet.
So you're going to have to come back next week to check that shit out. Dave, is there a place where people can find you online? And where's the shit they can look you up?
Well, I'm on there as... You know, Dave Draper, just regular old Facebook. Dave Draper Jr. in parentheses, since I can't figure out how to... Whatever. But in any case, Graveyard Goons. Look up Graveyard Goons. We got 31 days of Halloween coming up, prank call style, and... Instagram, David.Draper.1986. Yeah, look me up.
Fucking
man.
Look him up. It's going to be tight. Dave's going to be on next week's episode. You can check him out there.
That's right.
You can find all things Eric Comedy at ericcomedy.com. Eric with a K, comedy with a C.
He's
my comedy
over
special is coming out real soon. Drop us a 5-star rating on the iTunes, the Stitcher, whatever platform you listen to us on. Costs you nothing, means the world to us. Jeremy, take us out.
Yeah, party!